This is KBOO Portland, and welcome to the July edition of Black Book Talk. I am Patricia Welch, the library lady, and with me today is Renee Watson, a daughter of Portland, not living here now, but back home for the summer, and we're delighted about that. And she is going to tell us about her two new books. I know a lot of people who are trying to get one book in. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. We also have, in the virtual world, we have a second Black Book Talk host. Emma, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, forgive me. Okay. Emma Ford, bookwoman.
And Good morning.
Hi. And you're in New Orleans, right?
I am in New Orleans. I'm on Canal Street as we speak, looking out the window of my hotel room.
Everything converges for the best. And the reason why this is significant is because one of Renee's books, A Place Where Hurricanes Happen, takes place in New Orleans.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about that one first. And then next we want to talk about What Mama Left Me. But just tell us a little bit about you and how you came to be a writer and everything. And then we'll talk about your works.
Okay. So I grew up in Portland, Oregon. I grew up in Northeast Portland. I went to Vernon. I went to Jefferson High School. I'm a very proud demo. And I've always been a writer. And thankfully, my mother and my teacher saw that gift in me and encouraged it and nourished it. So all through high school at Jefferson, I was writing plays and poetry and acting and, you know, really being involved in the performing arts. So it was a very easy transition to becoming an adult writer because I had been doing it for so long. And I went to New York and I took more writing courses at the new school and just continued to grow in that gift. And when New Orleans, when Katrina hit New Orleans, a year after, I went down to do work with children who were coping with the aftermath. A lot of them had lost their parents. A lot of them, some of their parents were in Houston and they had stayed behind with a grandparent. So things were very still much raw. And I went down, did poetry and theater workshops with them. And this book is a tribute to those children, the stories that they told me while I was there.
I want to back up a little bit. You say you went down to work with them. How does this work? I mean, a lot of people have gone down to volunteer and they're doing things like helping building houses. But how was it that you were able to go down and work in this way?
I knew a woman who was over a summer camp that actually happened every summer. So well before Katrina. But because of Katrina that summer, she wanted to make sure that they had resources for students so that they could process what they had been through. So she didn't want to do business as usual and just have it be a normal arts camp. She really wanted to focus on Katrina. So she asked me to come down because I have certification in drama therapy.
Okay.
And I went down and did work that way.
Okay, now you said that this book came out of that experience. So this book is A Place Where Hurricanes Happen.
Yes.
So tell us about that book.
So the book is about four friends who live on the same block, and they're each telling their story about life before, during, and after Katrina. And while it is a book about Hurricane Katrina, it's really about friendship, community, the resiliency of young people. And it's not, it doesn't just focus on the hurricane. We get to see New Orleans and the good food and listen to that jazz music and really appreciate the place as a whole and not just as this one incident that happened.
Okay. Let's see. Emma, this is one of those, you know, get in where you fit in kind of things. Since I can't see you, we can't see you. We don't know if you're poised to ask a question.
So you're back home in Portland this summer. Are you touring in the Northwest?
A little bit, yes. I came back to have my first book launch here. I wanted to be home with family and friends and former teachers. So last Thursday, I celebrated the release of the book at a Children's Place bookstore. And I'll be here for the rest of the summer doing things here and there. I have something at Reflections July 20th. I'll be on the Oregon coast later in August. So I have a few things here during the summer. But mostly in the summer, I like to write. I teach in public schools in the Bronx. So the summertime is my time to not do anything and to take a break from all the madness that happens in the fall and spring.
Okay.
Wow.
You know, I must admit, your path sounds so easy because I think we must have slipped over some things. But so I want to go back. Okay, there are many people who are very, very talented writers, and yet they do not have. You have two books that are being released within a week of each other.
Right.
That's, I mean, most people labor long and hard to get one book released. So, okay, tell us a little bit more. Okay, you left here, you went to New York. How, why?
I went to New York to pursue getting drama therapy certification because I had been here in Portland working with young people through the schools, through writers in the schools. I did work at Self-Enhancement. And on my own, just going into the schools doing poetry workshops and theater workshops.
Did you have a degree in writing or anything?
At that time, I was studying. I was in school studying and working.
Okay.
And I would find that students would pour their hearts out in their poems or get on stage and do this monologue that was very personal. And I wanted to make sure I wasn't opening students up too much. Okay. In class, where they then have to go to math right after they've just cried about the stuff that they see in their community. So I really wanted to go back to school to get training on what to do, what are the correct boundaries to set up in a classroom when you're dealing with heavy subject matter. Okay. So that's what led me to go back to New York as an adult. The time span is, what, about maybe almost 10 years of graduating from high school and all of this happening. So I taught for many years and then went back to school to finish my degree. And then I'm here.
Why the new school?
Well, because they have a really great program. And because I do many things, I'm not just a writer, not just a teacher, not just a therapist. The program there allowed me to kind of handpick the courses that I wanted to take and really have a degree that meant something and that was really applicable to what I wanted to do.
Okay, good.
So you have two books coming out close together this summer. Is there another book in the works?
I am working on my third book this summer, trying to finish that up, yes. I don't have a title for it yet. I don't even have a published date yet when it will be out, but I am currently working on new projects.
But you know,
is it set in New York?
No, it's actually set in Portland. And so is the novel. The novel that comes out on Tuesday, What Mama Left Me, that's also set in Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Well, can we talk about this one a bit? Now, I have an advanced proof of What Mama Left Me, and I did not think, since I just got my hands on it a few days ago, I didn't think I'd be able to finish it before we had this interview. But this is the kind of book that had me staying up at night and waking up early in the morning so I could read it. Tell us about this. I like the fact that it was set in Portland. And even though I felt like some names may have been changed to protect whatever, I was like, oh, okay, she's talking about that. Let us know a little bit about this one.
So What Mama Left Me is about a 13-year-old girl who is very afraid of becoming her mother in the sense of she doesn't want to repeat her mom's mistakes. Her mother's in an abusive relationship with her dad. And she's just afraid that herself and her brother are going to follow into their parents' footsteps. So it's about her overcoming the loss of her mom. Her mother dies and is killed in a tragic way. And so it's about grieving and how do you come to terms with horrible things happening to good people? I mean, she's a child when this happens and she just questions God. She questions everything because her whole world is turned upside down when her mother passes away. So it's about overcoming loss. And realizing that you don't have to make your parents' mistake. You do have a choice in the matter.
What I liked about this book is, I mean, it was a serious topic and there was sadness in it, but it wasn't a maudlin book, that there was still joy. And at one point, one character specifically says, you know, the unhappy points of your life are real, but they're not your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to look at the balance, the totality of your life. I like this little girl. I liked her brother,
thank
too.
Thank you.
You know, I just thought this was so real. I had to think, I was like, okay, yeah, 13, yeah, that's when you start having those little crushes.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the character Jay, the little boy who, well, he's not a little boy, but he's supposed to be the same age as Serenity being the main character.
Mm-hmm.
He's supposed to be the same age as her, right?
Right.
And yet, he always seemed older.
Right.
And then as the story progresses, we understand why. But I like that there weren't stock characters and that you knew this person was going to be absolutely bad, absolutely good.
Mm.
That there was a nice mix, a nice range. Were these characters based on specific children that you had met or just, you know, inspired by?
No one character is based on one person. I would say each character has pieces of people that I've known throughout my whole life. I mean, I really do write from personal experience and things that I've seen. My mother was not in an abusive relationship, thank God. But I do work with students who see that and deal with that every day. And just the grandparents in there are really important characters to me. I wanted to have a balance. There are a lot of men in the book, black men, who are doing horrible things. So I was trying to also show strong African-American men who do take care of their families and are good role models. So that, too, is very important to me. And in my upbringing, I saw both the good, the bad, the ugly of our community. And I was trying to just create the balance of it all.
Oh, I think you did. I just felt like this is a book about our community, about real people, and that you have such a mix of people, like in one block in the black community, probably in any community, but in one block, you're going to have such a mix of types of people, types of experiences. And I felt that we were getting some background as to why people were the way they were, like in the character of Maria, there was some foreshadowing. I was like, okay, something's going on. I don't know what. At first I just said, oh, this is the cautionary character. This is going to be the little girl who she's going to learn what not to do from. And yet she was really, in many ways, overall, she was a lovely little girl. You know, her Serenity's grandmother might not have wanted her to put on the makeup and do some of the things. But, you know, these are real kids, good kids, who do the same things that actually we did. You know, we were putting on makeup and things when our mamas didn't want us to do it. Most of us turned out all right. You know, it was just a part of life. And I highly recommend this book.
As a matter of fact,
it's called What Mama Left Me. And the publisher for this one is Bloomsbury Children's Books. I am really proud to say that, A Place Where Hurricanes Happen is in the Multnomah County Library system. And this one is in process. So it means that this one is here and very soon people will be able to come in. Actually, now if it's in process, you can come in and reserve a copy so that when it actually comes into the various locations throughout the system, you can get one. What's the difference between... There's a difference in style between A Place Where Hurricanes Happen and this. This is a novel. Tell us more about the writing style of A Place Where Hurricanes Happen.
A Place Where Hurricanes Happen is told in free verse, I guess you would call it poetry. And there are four main characters. So the voices alternate page to page. You'll hear Adrian's perspective, then you'll switch to Michael, and then go to Tommy, and then Keisha, and so on and so forth. And, you know, for picture books, it actually is a longer picture book than most. It's very wordy. But I wanted to just try to capture a kid's perspective and really get into a child's mind of what they would be focusing on during a storm or what they think about when they've lost something. Like, for instance, Keisha is really sad that she loses her teddy bears. You know, because for her, for a little child, that means something to come back home and all of your teddy bears are soaked wet because of the storm and you can't have them anymore. So for that book, I really was just rereading their poetry that they wrote during that arts camp and really trying to get in the minds of children. But I am a poet at heart. I started writing poetry when I was very young. So both books definitely have that element to it. Serenity in the novel is a budding poet and is in class where they're having poetry Fridays. So each chapter starts off with a poem assignment that the teacher has given her, and we get to kind of get a peek into her journal and see what she's writing about.
Would you like to read just Oh, I'm sorry. No, Emma, I can hear you. Let me stop.
I heard you say that the characters came from a combination of people that you've known, but I was wondering where the actual storyline idea came from.
Of What Mama Left Me?
Of the novel, yes.
The actual storyline actually started off as a play that I wrote when I was in high school at Jefferson. We had to write a one act, and I don't really know at the time why I decided to write about this abusive father and him. I've always been intrigued by people saying, you're just like your mom. You're just like your dad. I think we say that to kids all the time. I've had several people say that to me. So the whole concept of what do we pass down to our children has been a theme in my writing for many years. So I wanted to write something where you have to wonder, well, do we become our parents and in what ways and do we have a choice and all of that kind of stuff. So back in high school, I wrote a short skit where there was a domestic violence scene and you know that the kids are watching. And I just, you know, put it away. I mean, we performed it. I think it was even chosen to be performed at IFCC back then. This was like in 1996. And over the years, I really wanted to do something with that, but I felt like it would be better as a novel than a play. So I just started writing from the kids' perspective, and I honestly don't know why it came out the way it came out, but I just think from years of experience, all these kids' stories were in my head, and I wanted to write something for them.
Well, you did, and you did a fine job.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, I want, if you don't mind, I'd like you to read from the beginning of one of your chapters.
Okay.
So that people can sense how you set one. I guess this is a good one. Yeah, if you don't mind. Or if there's another one that you prefer. Just so
no,
people understand
how
you give the example.
So I should also say that Serenity's parents, grandparents, are her grandfather is a pastor at a local church. And when she has to move in with her grandparents because her mother has passed away, she's exposed to this whole new world of faith and religion and church, and which is also a big part of my life as well. And I wanted a book that showed both a kid being in school and in church. I feel like a lot of times people think those things are very separate, but growing up, I did both all the time and wanted to have a character that was in school, but always had the faith of her family, you know, in her mind. So each chapter starts off with a portion of the Lord's Prayer, which is a huge part of Serenity's life because it was her mother's favorite scripture. So the title of this chapter is As It Is. I believe love is the medicine that cures fear. I believe my grandparents' love is a healing balm. I believe habits are prison bars that hold you back from freedom. I believe some secrets need to be told. I believe in second chances. I believe change is possible, but I know change isn't easy. We've been back from the retreat for a week now. It's Saturday morning, and I wake up to the sound of slamming doors and yelling voices. Grandpa is standing at the foot of the steps screaming at Danny, "Young man, get back down these stairs right now." I hear Danny open the door, but he doesn't go downstairs. He is standing in the hallway yelling back at Grandpa, "What do you want? You've already said no. What else do we need to talk about?" Danny has found new boldness today. I get out of bed and go into the hallway. "What's the matter?" Danny snaps at me. "None of your business. Leave me alone." Grandpa keeps fussing. "Danny, you don't walk away from me when I'm talking to you, and you don't slam doors and throw tantrums in this house. You understand?" "Yeah, but I just don't understand why I can't have the shoes." Grandpa sighs. "Didn't I just get you shoes at the beginning of the school year?" "Yeah, but those are ugly." "Danny, the answer is no. No new video games, no new shoes." Grandpa starts to walk away. "You ought to be grateful for what you have. There are kids in this world who wish they could have even one pair of shoes." Grandpa is out of sight now. He's walked towards the kitchen, still mumbling about how ungrateful the youth of today are and how materialistic we've become. Danny is mumbling, too. "My daddy would have got them for me," he says. But not low enough, because Grandpa is making his way back up the steps before Danny can say anything else. "What did you say?" Grandpa is short of breath because he is talking and walking up the steps at the same time. "You're right. Your father would have got everything you wanted. But son, I'm going to give you what you need." When Grandpa reaches the top of the stairs, Danny backs up. Fear has come now and erased the boldness and attitude. He flinches and puts his hands out to protect his face. "What are you flinching for? Why are you jumping back?" Grandpa is yelling loud. His voice is loud like thunder, an unexpected roar. Now Grandma is at the foot of the steps. "James, leave him be. Leave him be," she says. "Why did you just flinch up like that, huh? Answer me. James." Grandma is coming up the stairs too. "Answer me." Danny doesn't sound angry anymore. Now his voice is soft and low. "I thought you were going to hit me." Grandma is upstairs now. The hallway seems tiny with the four of us standing there. The silence is loud. No one speaks or moves until Grandma puts her hand on my grandpa's back. "Leave him be, James," she says softly. Grandpa gently touches Danny on his shoulder. "Like I said, I'm not your father." He keeps his hand on Danny's shoulder, and it must feel like a heap of coals because Danny's anger melts away, and now he is crying. Grandpa repeats himself, "Son, I'm not your father. I'm not like him." Grandpa gives me a look, and so I go back into our room. I hear my grandma walking down the steps. Danny and Grandpa are still in the hallway. Neither of them say a word, and all I can hear is the sound of crying from both of them.
Thank you.
Powerful writing.
Yes. Thank you.
And the book touches on so many topics. The whole issue of grandparents, doing a second term, parenting their grandchildren. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so good that there was a possibility that these children could have gone to a home where they were wanted, but they might not have felt welcomed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this other grandparent sort of wanted to have them there, but they wouldn't have been happy. And to see what can happen if children are in the embrace of people who love them and who know how to raise children well. Mm. What would be the age range, you know, that you're targeting for this one, for What Mama Left Me?
It's a middle grade novel, so 6th, 7th, and 8th grade.
Okay, and for A Place Where Hurricanes Happen, what's the age range for that?
That's 2nd grade and up, so 2nd through 5th grade.
Okay, so parents, when you're looking for books that, you know, have good images, positive images, parents, teachers, these are two books you really want to look at. You know, I wanted to mention something else. There's been, as you know, since you've been here a while, a great deal of debate about public schools in Portland and certainly a lot about Jefferson. And I think in that debate, something is lost. The fact that there are people, young people who go to these schools and who come out well. I don't think that when the average person thinks about Jefferson High School, that they could think of this as a school that graduates a young woman like you, mm-hmm. who has done well at an early age, who is living honorably, who is making a real contribution to her community, not just here, but around the country, somebody who can go out and take their place in the world. I just met you, and I am so proud of you.
Thank you.
I think you represent Jefferson well, and I do hope that as these conversations go on that we will understand that a reason why many people love Jefferson is because, you know, they see the fine lives they have because they have graduated from their school, and they see that in others. Just I don't know, maybe this is an editorial. No, it's just an opinion. You do us proud. You do Jefferson proud.
Thank
you. Do Portland proud.
Another writer who published a book, I believe, last year from Jefferson.
All right. Right on.
Yeah. And, you know, I think if we really sat down and sent out a call and asked people, we'd find there are many wonderful writers who came through Jefferson, as well as many who are making valuable contributions in other areas.
But most definitely.
Yeah, but we love seeing demos sitting in our chair talking about their books.
Thank you.
That's a very good thing. Anything you want to share about your books, about your experience, anything that you want to
tell? Before we go on, I wanted to hear a bit of the prose from A Place Where Hurricanes Happen.
You know, we don't have that here with us. I'm so sorry. And I don't know any of it by heart. I'm sorry.
There is some I went on the internet,
mm-hmm.
and I read an excerpt from it. I didn't print it out, but mm-hmm. I did. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, and also, tell us about the artist.
Shadra Strickland is amazing. She's the illustrator also for Bird, which came out before our book came out together and won the Coretta Scott King Award for illustrators. We're just like-minded. I met her through Random House. I didn't know her before, but I'm so glad that she took this project on, and I think she did a great job with the illustrations, and we're going to do some joint projects together this summer in New Orleans, going down to do school visits with young people there.
Great. Okay, if you want to know more about Renee, we want you to go to her website, which is www.reneewatson.net, www.reneewatson.net. We hope that you will look to A Place Where Hurricanes Happen, which is published by Random House, if you want to see a child's view of, the Katrina experience, but also just what it means to be children, families going through a difficult time and the importance of that. If you want to read another book, and the first one is targeted towards Elementary school age children? Okay. What Mama Left Me, which is published by Bloomsbury Children's Book, is targeted towards middle school students. And this book touches just on so many other things. We hope that you will come to get that. Since you're at a number of bookstores, obviously you can go to your local bookstore and get a copy of this. And certainly you can go to the local branch of Multnomah County Library and get a copy of this. I think we all need some inspiration. If there's something that you could share with young writers, and maybe even not so young writers out here, to encourage them to make sure that their voices are heard and to persevere when it seems like, you know, they may not have the opportunity to be published, what would you say?
I would definitely encourage you to continue to write. I was writing when nobody was reading my stuff except my mom and my siblings in our living room. So when you love writing or anything that you do, do it to the fullest, regardless of the audience, and stay true to yourself. So I would just say continue to keep doing what you love to do, and your gift will make room for you. Doors will open for you as you continue to just be true to who you are at the core.
Okay. We have a young lady sitting here. Do we have a young writer in our midst?
This is my niece. She is a writer and an athlete. She's right now focused a lot on track because it's that season right now. But she does have a journal, and we are actually going through the book together this summer. We have our own little private book club, and she's been going through it. And the books both have teacher's guides, and so I've been taking her through the teacher's guide and having her write those poetry assignments that Serenity has to write in the book.
Excellent.
You know, I'm happy you mentioned that because I forgot to say there's a teacher's guide, a reading group guide in What Mama Left Me, and there is also a recipe for red velvet cake.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
That's a big deal in Serenity's life. Her mom promises that she's going to teach her how to make it, but she passes away before she can. So Serenity's on this mission to learn how to make it on her own.
And her I'm sorry, Emma, what did you say?
I said,
Oh, yeah. See, we're in a book club that frequently brings food to the book club. And I'm thinking, whoa, maybe we need to read this book and we don't have to worry about what we're eating that month. We'll have the food. Emma, anything you want to share? We have like just a few minutes left.
Question. Are you in town in September?
I am. I'll be in and out in September. The start of September, I'm in Atlanta for a book fair, but I'll be back for the rest of September.
I read somewhere that you might be open to doing readings at schools.
Oh, definitely. Yes. I am open to do author visits and be hands-on with students.
Excellent.
Okay. Well, we've come to the close of the July edition of Black Book Talk. We want to thank our author, Renee Watson, for coming to us today and sharing.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful having you here. And again, please pick up your copy of What Mama Left Me, or and also A Place Where Hurricanes Happen. This is Patricia Welch, the library lady, saying farewell. And
this is Emma Jackson Ford, bookwoman. I will see you next month.
Okay, and I think, I don't know, we're going to go out with something bluesy. And so, okay. So thank you very much. We will see you in August. Good reading to you.